We sang at the early in the service, I am changed in the presence of a holy God. I am changed in the presence of a holy God. And I just ask you and myself, are we in his presence here this morning? I don't mean physically. The Holy Spirit is here. His presence is here. But are we in his presence? Have we put aside the things and troubles and distractions of the day to really focus on him? I am changed in the presence of a holy God. Brother Steve's lesson this morning was just beautiful with talking about what kind of listeners, passive, selective, active. And we have to ask ourselves, what kind of listener am I? Not only to hear the word, but let the word penetrate. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would just move our hearts this morning and touch us with his power. My attention is turned to the fourth chapter of the Epistle to Ephesians. And the theme of this message is endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So necessary today. I want to begin reading with the first verse and just a few verses following. Paul to this church at Ephesus writes, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as we are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And I want to stop the reading right there. The unity of the Spirit cannot be created by any human being. It already exists. It already exists for those who have believed the truth and received Christ as their Savior. As Paul proclaimed, if you read the first three chapters in this epistle, the Ephesians are now to keep the unity, not through human efforts or organization, but by living worthy lives, worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Spiritual unity is maintained by loyalty to the truth and keeping in step with the Spirit. Here we have an exhortation. I'd like to call it a commandment. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You and I have a special calling that God has opened our eyes to the truth, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We haven't just signed on to be part of a religion or to be part of a movement, but whether it's been something more than that, it's been revelation to understand that Christ is personal, a personal Savior. That he died to save you from your sins and my sins. He paid the price, the awful price that you and I could not possibly pay.
Thank you, Lord.
The price of our sin. Walk worthy of the vocation. Walk worthy of the vocation. Is it possible to walk worthy of the vocation? To walk worthy of the Lord. And how do we do that? He says, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring, that word is not just going to happen on its own. It's I like the word striving. striving to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because the enemy, you see, he wants to break the unity. The enemy wants to disrupt the unity of the Spirit. The enemy wants to take you out of unity with the Holy Spirit. Can I draw you an analogy? Look at what's going on today. They call it wokeism. Wokeism. You've heard probably the term. What is it all about? It's a device to separate people. It's a device to cause distinctions. White against black. Vaccinated against unvaccinated. Progressive against conservative. That's in the world. And what is the end point of all that? Keep us divided so the government can take control. Do you see an analogy what Satan is trying to do? Isolate you, divide us, so he breaks the unity. The Spirit is not free. The Holy Spirit cannot move as he would like to move. And we find many examples in the Word of God when the people of God were in perfect unity. What happened? God moved in a great way. The most beautiful example on the day of Pentecost, it says they were all with one mind and one accord. All with one mind and one accord. One thing, Lord, come with your power. Lord, we come with what your promise is. Come, and the Holy Spirit came. When they went back, when John went back to the prayer group in Jerusalem after being threatened by the people in charge, they prayed a beautiful prayer, and it says when they prayed, it says the place was shaken by the power of God, and they were all filled with the Spirit. Go to the Old Testament. When they came upon Jericho right after crossing the Jordan, the first encounter. They marched around the walled city, two double walls, impregnable. Marched around 7 days, once a day on the seventh day, seven times. And when it got to them, they were all in unity. No sign, not a word was spoken. It was only the priest blowing the ram's horns. Unity, Lord, you know, they didn't quite, well, Joshua, what are we doing? What is this? They obeyed. God said it, I believe it. This is God's instruction, I'm going to do it. Amen. And what happened? And Joshua said, shout, and they shouted, and the walls came down, praise God, and they were victorious. Oh, praise the Lord. When Jehoshaphat was attacked by those three mighty armies, they were outnumbered. And he called a fast, and they prayed. And the Spirit came on this young man in the congregation. He said, you'll not need to fight in this battle, but the battle is mine. And what was the instruction? Put the singers and the praisers out in front. And they sang, praise the Lord and the beauty of his holiness. And they praised the Lord. And what happened? The enemy defeated themselves. They all defeated themselves. They didn't lift the sword or a spear. They were in unity. Praise God. And that's what the Holy Spirit is telling us today. We need to be in unity, and we need to preserve that unity, and we need to strive for that unity. And how do we do that? And he says here how to approach it. And the first thing he says, with lowliness, with all lowliness. It is that deep humility as opposed to pride, arrogance, and conceit, which is produced by a right sense of our weakness and ignorance and dependence. Do you notice in many of the key scriptures, the first thing it starts with, humble yourselves? Humble yourselves. Brother Steve quoted that this morning in Chronicles, if my people will humble themselves. In one of the epistles, it says, if you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves. Humility. It is pride that holds us back. It is pride that robs us. It is pride. Humility with all lowliness. Humility. Oh, praise God. To realize that we need strength from above, that we can't handle it. That what the Lord says, that Lord, let me hear your voice. Lord, let me open my heart. Let me, you know, when the word says examine yourselves, we examine ourselves. They mentioned that this morning in the Bible class that, you know, sometimes it's selective hearing that, oh, I hope so-and-so heard that word. It was sure meant for them. Oh, Lord, help us. In Proverbs, it says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Paul writes in Romans, he says that we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Sometimes we put ourselves on a pedestal. And we look at our many years in the Lord. And spiritual pride kind of sneaks in. But how do we walk worthy? It starts with lowliness. Praise God. And then he goes on to talk about meekness. It's nature. It's a disposition which does not arraign God and does not avenge itself on man. It implies a ready submission to the authority of the Word and a cheerful resignation to His providence. Slow to wrath, gentle, meekness. A ready submission to the Word. A ready submission to the Word. Does the Word take effect? Does the Word touch it? Do we examine the Word? What does this Word saying to me? What am I to do with this Word? Why is God speaking this Word today? Because what is he saying to me to individually examine ourselves with meekness? Oh, praise the Lord. It says in one of the epistles, if a brother is overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore that brother in the spirit of what? Meekness, gentleness. It's like a surgeon that is delicately putting a broken bone back in place. The spirit of meekness. Describing how we are to walk worthy of the Lord. Humility, lowliness, and meekness, a gentleness. Praise God, he goes on with long suffering. Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord, help us. A disposition that leads us to suppress our anger. To oppose a sharpness of temper. Long suffering. Let's be honest, we get on each other's nerves sometimes, don't we? No? Yes, we do. We have our idiosyncrasies. We have our character. We have our human flaws. And the Word of God says long-suffering. Long-suffering. Oh, Lord, help. Help us, oh God, to be long-suffering, not judgmental, not anger, but long-suffering. Praise God. And finally, he says, forbearing one another in love. Oh, praise God. In one of the scriptures, I like what it says. I believe it's in Colossians, yes. It says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Stop and think, how much has God forgiven you? How much? In the heat of the moment, we don't think that way. In the heat of the moment, oh, she did me dirty. He hurt my feelings. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Is there anything that needs to be forgiven? Is there anything that needs to be put before the Lord and forgiven? What does it say in Matthew about if you have aught against your brother and you bring your alms to the altar, he says, leave your alms and go make it right with your brother first. Well, I'll forgive him as soon as he apologizes. Is that the word of God? No, it's not. Apology is not a requirement of forgiveness. It is a command of God, forgive. If you don't forgive, Jesus said, your Father will not forgive you. Oh Lord, help us, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Oh, praise the Lord, help us, Lord. Have that compassion one for another. You see how the Holy Spirit, it puts self second. It minimizes self. And it's all about others. That's Jesus' nature. All about others. Let love, Paul writes, let love be without dissimulation, without a pretense, not fake. Let love be real. Let love be without dissimulation. Oh, Lord. Help us to love one another more than we love now. Amen. And where does this come from? The Holy Spirit. It's all a work of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. The first one it names, love. Oh, praise God. A desire to be with the saints of God. A desire to have fellowship. A desire to be together. To take advantage of the opportunities we have when there are activities that we can all come together. The first one, obviously, you ought to be in church. The first one, you ought to be in church. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's the fellowship that we need to maintain. When you miss church, you hurt the unity of the Spirit. What? Yes, you do. You're telling the rest of the congregation, you know, it's not important that I'm there with you. It's okay, you're there, but I don't need to be there. I love you, but, you know, it's, you know, I got other things that are more important. You're telling the Lord that coming together as he commands is not necessary, not important. I come once a week. That's good enough. Oh, Brother Ron, you're getting in dangerous territory now. Oh, Lord. I'm not talking about those that are infirmed and can't come out to the services. You know what I'm speaking about. Habitual. You ought to be at the church picnic. What? What did he just say? You ought to be at the church picnic. Well, it's hot. It's humid. A lot of flies. And I just don't like them. It doesn't matter. It's a chance to fellowship. A chance to be together. I love watching the young people, these kids, play ball. The annual softball game. I love watching that. You know what's so beautiful? They encourage one another. There's competition, but they encourage each other. We don't get opportunities like that very often. We're busy lives. Everybody's running here and there and doing a lot of things. You ought to be in the prayer meetings. Oh, well, here, wait a minute. Now that's it. You've crossed the line. You better be in the prayer. What do you mean? I pray at home. Thank God. You mean to tell me an hour and a half twice a month is going to cramp your style, is going to cramp your schedule? Do we want revival? Do we want to see restoration? Do we want to see young people saved, filled with the Holy Ghost? Do we want to see those come back that are gone astray? Amen. If you do, then you'll be at the prayer meeting. Amen. Then you'll be in the service. Amen. Then you'll be at the picnic. Yeah. We don't pray for anybody at the picnic. No, it's not the point. It's we're there together, fellowshipping, learning more about each other, encouraging one another. You're going to have conversations you may not be able to have when after the service. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know what I think a danger signal ought to be to you? Is if you're more comfortable with your worldly friends than you are with the people of God. If you can fellowship with worldly friends, I don't mean they're bad people, but they don't know the Lord. If you can be more comfortable with them, and you'd rather be with them than be with the people of God, there's something wrong. Can I hear an amen to that? If you don't agree, don't say it. I mean, we can't have worldly friends? No, I'm not saying that. But do they know where you stand spiritually? Do they know what you believe? Do they know you go to church? Do they know you're baptized with the Holy Ghost? Well, the conversation never came up. Why not? Because you know why. Be ostracized. A wall will come up. Oh, you're one of them. How are the lost going to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ? By hiding our light under a bushel? or by coming forth and telling people about your experience and your faith. Oh Lord, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, the Spirit of God wants to move. The Spirit of God wants to work. But the body of Christ has to be in unity. The body of Christ has to be in sync with the Holy Spirit. The body of Christ has to be moving by the power of the Holy Spirit. The body of Christ has to be seeking for God to have his way. Oh, praise the Lord. I believe it's in James. I read this one time, not this scripture, but I read something some long ago. I forgot where it was. You want to destroy a church? You want to destroy a church? Talk negatively about the church and the people in the church. You want to destroy it? Just do that. And what does the scripture tell us? Speak not evil one of another. Brethren, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth for the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Speak not evil one of another. Lord, help us. You see, we have this natural propensity. I'll speak for myself. You know, we judge each other. We can't help it. We just do. And we have to fight that. You know, the best way that I find and have found is to not judge someone is to pray for them. Because if you're truly praying for them, you're not talking about them. You're not speaking evil of them. The scripture tells us not willing that any should perish. Do we have that desire within us? Oh, well, that's what they get. They were warned. They know the scripture. They know the word. Weren't you weak at times? Didn't you stray away from the Lord at times? Didn't you disappoint the Lord at times? Yes, we all did. We all had our moments. Oh, but Lord, would you help us? Because you see, we get to the real crux in the core. It's the love. It's the love of Christ. And I want to conclude in this, the fourth chapter we read. I want to go to the third chapter because Paul's prayer in this third chapter really summarizes everything to me. In the third chapter of Ephesians, the 16th verse, he says, 14th verse, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That you're going to know something that passes knowledge. What, that doesn't, does that make sense? How are you going to know it? Because the Holy Spirit reveals it. You might know the height and depth and breadth and length of his love. And you might understand how great that love is in some small part. might be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, Lord. You see, that's right where it's at. Lord, let the love of Christ just flow through us. Let it, Lord, let it be within us so rich that we consider one another, forbear one another, forgive one another, hold each other up in prayer, knowing that we're all frail, knowing that we all fail, knowing that we all have faults, knowing that God oversees it all and He gave His life to save you and I. Praise God. And He concludes, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Can God let this love overflow in us? Yes, He can. Can God do great and mighty things? Yes, He can. Is there somebody you need to forgive this morning? Someone you need to ask the Lord to help you? Lord, only Your love can do that. In our humanity, we're not capable. This love that comes from God is not a love that is normal in humanity. It's not within our nature. It's a love that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. In spite of how you've hurt me, in spite of the things that you've said that were so hurtful, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. And I want to see God bless you. I don't want to see your soul lost. Oh, Lord, help us. That comes from the Lord this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, help us. May be able to comprehend, to begin to understand the great love. Why did God choose you? Why did God single you out? Why are you here this morning? Because of some special talent that you possess, some special star that's by your name? It was the love of Christ. You remember Jesus' prayer, 17th chapter of John? Lord, make them one as we are one. That's His prayer for the church. One. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One Lord. We want the same thing. I pray that the Holy Spirit bring us into that unity. If God is going to work, if God is going to move, if God is going to do what He promised to do, we have a role to play in that. We have to seek. We have to strive. We have to endeavor to maintain the unity of the Spirit and to walk worthy of the Lord. Lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance. And God will help us. Oh, praise the Lord. God will help us. I love Paul's prayer that we concluded with, to understand length and breadth and depth and width and height. Oh God, help us this morning. I'm going to close right here. I pray the Holy Spirit draw us together as never before. We want to see the unity of the Spirit in even greater measure than we have ever seen before. You know, it was one of the problems with the Corinthian church. You read the letter Paul wrote. He said, one says, you know, one for Cephas, one for Paul, one for Apollos. Did Paul die on the cross? Did Cephas die on the cross? Divisions. Let there be no divisions. Lord, take away the divisions. You see, the enemy is out there. That shouldn't be in here. Amen? Yes, we have our idiosyncrasies and our character. But you know what? The Holy Spirit can perfect us. The Holy Spirit can work on us. If we'll allow Him to, if we'll follow what the Word of God says, if we'll allow Him to, lowliness, humility, meekness, forbearance, long-suffering, if we'll allow the Holy Spirit to work on us, He'll begin to chip away at all the rough edges and begin to make us into His image. Oh, praise God. Lord, help us this morning. We want to be pleasing to You. We want to see the Holy Spirit begin to move in such a mighty fashion. And we know the Lord will help us. May His name be praised.